The guidance counselor looked at me, and he had that kind of look he always had when he looked at me. I said, Mr. Wall, where do you see yourself in 20 years? What's your career aspiration? And I said, I want to be a glamorous criminal. And he kind of looked over his glasses the way he always did and made a little note that I found out years later was actually in my student record and said, attention seeking, and he'd underlined it twice and circled it. Now, the tragedy of this was I really kind of did want to be a glamorous criminal because I aspired to be a badass. I was a little, slightly built, polite child. I got bullied and I got kind of made fun of, and I thought, you know what, one day I'll show them I'm going to be a glamorous criminal or something equally badass. I didn't make much progress at it because I don't have a lot of conviction in my badassery. When I wanted an earring, I got an ear cuff. And when I wanted to take up smoking, I didn't want to get cancer, so I would just light cigarettes and carry them. And I would hope that nobody ever noticed that I was just tapping them out and tapping them out, but they never actually went into my mouth. And as school went on, I was increasingly unsuccessful at being kind of the odd cool kid. I just was the odd surreal kid. By the time I got to the point where I figured out what my real oddity was, which was that I liked dudes, I had been reading up, and I came out and I read a bunch of Gide and John Retchie and Joe Orton's diaries, and I'm like, this is it. This is my ticket to being a badass. I'm going to be a big, crazy, gay badass, just like in everything I ever read. And I had this whole love affair with, I'm going to live on the margins of society, and I'm going to be kind of spooky and dangerous and carry my cigarettes that never go in my mouth, and I'm going to switch to Galoises so they'll be extra French. But the trouble was, and this was right in the heart of the Reagan years, so it was an ugly, bad time to be gay. But unfortunately for me, when I came out, everybody was supportive and approved. And I told my parents, and they were proud of me that I had felt so comfortable that I could share this thing about myself. And I came out at school, and everybody said, well, that explains it, and you're really cool, and we like you. And this was pissing me off because I wanted to be a badass. I eventually ended up quitting school and running away from home to get away from the loving, supportive environment that was destroying me and into a properly sleazy sideline sort of area. I was in Prince George's County, but not far enough into it. I was staying in a room with roommates in College Park that I had found at the Sexual Minority Youth Assistance League, which was SMILE, the gay youth thing. So I couldn't even be radical in my gay youthery. I had to go to SMILE. But the very first time I went to a gay bar, it was a world changer because we went to this place called the Chesapeake House, which was a sleazy little strip club in DC. And the first time we went in there, my two roommates and I'm looking and I'm like, aren't they taking their pants off? Are they taking their drawers off? And they're like, what? It's a strip club. That's what they do. I'm like, are they allowed to take everything off? And they're like, well, they leave their socks on so you can put the money in there. And I thought, oh my God, I can take my pants off. I have a pathway to being a badass. So as soon as I turned 18, I applied at I just schmucked up to the bartender at a bar that is now roughly under home plate at National Stadium, which I point out to everybody that I know whenever you're at a Nationals game, my penis has been out at home plate. And the trouble was, I never really shook my not being a badass persona. And you know, when I was a kid and everybody was looking at things like, hey, we were watching Charlie's Angels the other night, and I'm like, I was listening to a fascinating thing on NPR. And in their lunches, they would have a Coke wrapped up in aluminum foil because our dumb parents thought this would keep them cool. Well, I had a thermos of herbal tea, and I had Julia Child's book, which I observed like the Bible. And unfortunately, when I decided to become a badass stripper, and picture me young and pretty, unless, of course, you like bears, in which case, picture all of this. But unfortunately, I had learned to dance watching Twyla Tharp on PBS. and watching the movie Sweet Charity over and over and over. And I was really in a phase where I was a huge fan of Harry Partch, who is this experimental musician working with 38 tones per octave. And it's very hard to listen to music. And when I would get up on the bar at this club where the ceiling was so low, it was already hard to dance because you had to kind of crouch. And normally they hired shorter dancers, but I'd been persuasive, so they put me in. So I would go and I would put on the tape of the music that I would be, and it would be, you know, this bizarre thing about a death in Barstow of somebody intoning poetry, and then I would do these Twilotharpy dances while crouching so that I wouldn't hit my head on the ceiling. And it turned out to be the shortest career as a stripper because one evening, while passing one of the other dancers who had left a deposit on the bar of a very slippery nature, I got my foot in it and I skated all the way to the end of the bar, flew off, knocked myself unconscious on the brass rail on the way down, and thus ended my career as a stripper.